You this morning, speaking about finances, picking up where we left off last Sunday. Our first lesson was one on perspective, and this is one on provision. And we made a couple of observations as we were going through our lesson last Sunday, a couple of observations as it relates to provision, God's provision. This plugged in. We did say that our God is a giving God, and giving is a good thing. He gives to us freely. Remember the words of James chapter 1, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Our God always has been, is now, and always will be a good God, a loving God. He loves you. He has provided for you the common graces of the things that we see in nature. Anyone can see them and benefit from them. And then we as believers can benefit from that relationship with Him. Our God is a giving God. He gave to man life itself, a perfect garden, good things. And then His primary plan, our God's primary plan for acquiring money, we said number two, is working and then resting. Working and then resting. Working is God's plan to provide. There are other ways that maybe you benefit from things. Maybe you're given things. Maybe God gives you unexpected blessings. And there are some folks who are not able to work or are out of work. But God's primary plan from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden, was that man work for what he received. He work and then he rested. We even saw that back in Genesis chapter 2. And so building upon that, we said that the first principle is that working for what we have is God's primary plan. 6 days shalt thou labor. In fact, take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 20. This was our text for the lesson. I'll have you turn there because we'll reference it during our Sunday school lesson today. Exodus chapter 20. And I like Exodus chapter 20 specifically because it's a commandment to the children of Israel as a law for their nation, but really it's built upon God's principle and God's behavior from the creation account. So He's taking something from the very beginning and He's using that as a continued principle for us even today. It says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, work is good, and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For, this is the reason, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. The God of heaven, who did not have to rest, did so as a model for us. But He also worked as a model for us." Could God have created everything in the blink of an eye? Yes, He could have. But He did so over the course of 6 days, the creation week. And from that week, we get our week of time. And it says, "Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So we do see that God's primary plan to provide is through working. That was the principle we went through last Sunday. And that really brings us to the second principle. Working and then receiving the reward is God's design. Working and then receiving the reward is God's design. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into explaining this morning. Lord, please help us today. Help us as we seek to honor You, solidify things in our hearts. Help us to see that these things are not just old-fashioned, but they are in fact biblical. And where society departs from them, where we depart from them, where we reject wisdom, we in fact hurt ourselves. We thank You for these truths. In Your name I pray. Amen. Oops. Okay. Wait a second. I apologize, folks. I'm on the wrong slide. As we came to the end of our last Sunday's Sunday school lesson, we actually made this point that working is not just a way of providing, it's also a way of honoring God. When Christians embrace their calling in life, when they work as unto the Lord, God receives the glory. It says in Colossians chapter 3, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Regardless of where you work, regardless of what you do, when it is, if you go to work, if you do what you do with a heart to honor the Lord, you will receive not only a paycheck, and really, by the way, you'll have a solid job, because there's really not a lot of people that can show up on time, do their job without complaining, seek to be competent, try to better the company. If you do those things, you'll shine above the rest of the workforce, and if you do it with the right spirit, you'll receive rewards of the Lord. Well, that brings us to the next principle, and that's where we're at this morning. Work and then receive the reward is God's design. Working and then receiving the reward is God's design. Now, I've put it this way in a specific order, and you'll see why in just a second. Our reference for this, you can see it on your notes, is out of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 27:23. It says, "Be thou diligent." Wow, that's a character quality you don't see much today, do you? Right? "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation?" You can't just take it for granted. If you don't take care of it, if you're not diligent, it's not going to endure. "The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself. The herbs of the mountain are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing. The goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food and for the food of thy household and for the maintenance of thy maidens." What's God saying here? Well, there's a couple things that we can draw just from this passage. The first is this: diligent labor produces reward. Diligent labor produces reward, but it comes after the labor, not before. Money and goods don't take care of themselves. I wonder if I should do this. I'll do this. I wonder how many this morning have ever, when you first got your bank account or checking account, didn't keep quite as close watch on the register as you should and accidentally bounced a check once or twice. Yeah, almost everybody raises their hand. Now, maybe I was questioning, well, if they did this last week, they might be. But I don't. You didn't have to tell us when you did it. So it doesn't take care of itself. You have to manage it. In fact, there are people who earn a good living just managing other people's money. Money and goods don't take care of themselves. They must be managed. And this is simply being a good steward, even if it's given to you. What does it say? It says the hay appeareth. Who makes the grass to grow? Well, you can plant it, but if it doesn't rain, even if it does rain, who makes it to where it works and grows like it should? The God of heaven who programmed that, and that little seed that grows. The grass appeareth and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. It's out there. Who put it there? Well, God. But you still have to gather it. That's being a good steward of resources. Diligent labor produces reward, and God designed it this way. All these things come as a result of God's ordained system. Working, then waiting, then receiving the reward. And you know what our problem is? I talked about working last Sunday. You know what our problem is? A twofold problem as it pertains as we're continuing. The first one is we don't want to work. Children have to be taught to work. They don't want to. Okay? And if you received that as a child and you picked that up as a child, and as an adult you don't mind working or you actually enjoy it, praise God for that. But it had to be taught or modeled. The second thing is we don't like waiting. We don't like waiting. We don't want to wait for the reward. We want it now. How do you know, Pastor? Well, credit card companies, easy credit, the credit crisis, credit report advertisements. You know why all those things exist? Well, sometimes they exist because people come fall into a bind and they need something temporarily. By and large, it's because we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait until we can pay for it. We want 90 days, same as cash, pay for it over 2 years, and you pay $3,000 for that sofa that wasn't worth $500 to start with. You know what I'm talking about. We in America have a problem with credit because we have a problem with waiting for what we want. We don't want to wait. Can I tell you this? In the scripture, debt is never spoken of favorably. Now, debt is kind of like sickness. How so? Well, debt is not inherently sinful. It's not inherently sinful. But if it can be avoided, that's wise. Consider this scripture verse. It's on your notes. Proverbs 22, verse 7. It says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." See, debt results in servitude. It results in servitude. Debt that must be paid, you know what it does? It acts as a master who you must serve. It's a responsibility. In fact, that's actually being taken away. There's a whole bunch of folks that part of what their campaign promises are is we'll make the government forgive all your student loans. Well, as much as I hate to say it, and I feel sorry for them that they can't find a job and pay off their student loans, you got the loan. Nobody forced you to. So you should pay it off. Nobody else should. You should. And maybe you should have made some better choices about what career you chose. That's hard. You say, "Preacher, that's not very loving." I think it's very loving to teach that on the front end. See, servitude comes with debt. And our problem is we invite these servants into our life. You know, when you really see this in marriages a lot of times, because you get married and you are to be given to each other and to the Lord. But as starting out, it's hard because you want everything your parents had. And so young couples, they get all these credit things in the mail, get all this stuff on time. And every time you get something, they say, "Oh, you know, I make X amount of dollars per month. I can't afford this and I can't afford that and I can't afford that, but I can afford the easy payments." And you add all these masters into your life. And so you begin to serve all of these other masters instead of living for one another and for the Lord. Getting something before you can pay for it makes you a servant to your things. And every time you purchase something you cannot afford right now, you add another master to your life. And for this reason, debt has ruined many a relationship and family. I made the statement, what's one of the things that causes the most arguments in marriage? It's money. And debt is a hard thing. It's a super hard thing. Not only that, it doesn't just produce servitude, it also produces slavery. See, if you get something you know you cannot afford, that's a sin because you can't pay it back. That's stealing. You know you're not going to pay it back, whether they give it to you or not. Debt's to be avoided. And working and then waiting is God's plan. Paying yourself instead of the creditor and waiting for what you want. You say, "Well, I need it. I need this $1,000 smartphone. And I need a new appliance," when you could go down and get one for $100 at the used appliance store. "And I need a brand new car with a warranty." Well, probably don't. We use the word need too flexibly in our society. Working and then waiting, you know what it does? It allows God to provide. And sometimes we need to put our instant gratification push on the shelf in our society. Now, as I look around the room, most of you say, "That's right, preacher, that's the way I was raised." But see, our society is getting away from that. I can tell you this. This can be a double-sided coin. I don't make decisions on the spur of the moment very well. I really don't. In fact, if I feel pushed to make a decision, most of the time I'll just say no. I have never waited on something and been sorry. But I've acted impulsively many times and been sorry. Or I should say, the times that I've acted impulsively, the majority of the time that I've done that, I've been sorry. "Oh, well, yeah, but this opportunity is just for today." Really? And you know what? I was sorry about it. Working and then waiting is God's plan. That brings us to the next principle. Working is God's plan. Working and then waiting. But Christian, working nonstop is not biblical either. Working nonstop is not biblical either. We read in Exodus chapter 20, the verse in the Ten Commandments, the passage in the Ten Commandments that instructs us about the Sabbath day. The word Sabbath means rest, Shabbat. That's the Hebrew word translated into the English. We don't have a direct English word. We use the Hebrew word in the English. That's called transliteration. When you take a word from one language and you transfer the sounds phonetically into the other language without losing the word, it means to rest. It's the seventh day rest. You work 6 days, you rest one. Working nonstop is not biblical either. See, even God rested after his work. It's biblical. Why is it biblical, Pastor? Well, I'll turn back there and just make some observations. Oop, wrong chapter. It says in verses 9 through 10, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. See, our bodies need rest. God instituted a Sabbath rest because man needs it. You realize that's what Jesus told the Pharisees in the New Testament? When they got on to him for working on the Sabbath day, he did some very menial task. And they said, ah, you shouldn't work on the Sabbath day. We saw your disciples and they were picking corn because they were hungry. They went through a cornfield and they picked some corn and they rubbed the husks off. And the Pharisee says, in my mind, I wonder if the Pharisees were like hiding in the cornfield following them. And when they picked the corn, they jumped up out of the corn. Ah, we caught you. Finally, breaking the law, you know, like these guys hiding in the wings in some cartoon character. You know what Jesus said? He said, the man is not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. It's because we need it. A story is told or an account, and I've tried to find some historical references of during the French Revolution. The calendar was changed to 10 days per week instead of 7. I mean, hey, if you work 6 days and take a rest, wouldn't it be more productive if you just worked 10, took a rest day every 10 days? That might be better, right? So that's what they did. You'd work 9 days and rest one. But word is, after a while, the calendar experiment failed, among other reasons, because the human body couldn't handle it. We have this thing today called chronic fatigue syndrome. We have all these syndromes today. You know what that basically means? The doctor says, you have some symptoms and we don't know why. Congratulations. I can tell you why people get chronic fatigue syndrome, because they're overdriven with too much stress. We don't rest. See, what we need to realize is our bodies need rest, and ultimately, money is a means to an end. Money is a means to an end. Working nonstop is not biblical, because God did not put us here to pour all of our energies into amassing wealth or building empire or trying to get a better life than somebody else. We are here. Why? We are here to honor Him, to serve His church, to win the lost, to raise godly families, to support His work, to be a light in the darkness. And if we do those things, we benefit, we reward. He rewards us for them. See, money is simply a tool that helps those things take place. I don't often carry cash. In fact, I try not to. This is just a tool. This is not what you are to serve. This is not your God. This is not what provides for you. He provides this through work. But I am not to serve this. Especially because it's deflating, you know. When we forget that money is a means to an end, it becomes our master, and we begin to treat money the way that we should treat God. Think about this. When we begin to think that this is where my existence is provided for, then I begin to trust in getting more of this. Consider this scripture verse from the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10, verse 24. The disciples were astonished at his words. Jesus said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. And back then, some people had a health and wealth philosophy. They said, well, if somebody's rich, it must be because God has blessed them, which is true. And so the rich man must be more favored by God than the poor man. You know, the Hindu religion believes that. That if you're poor, you probably deserve it because in a previous life you were a knucklehead. And if you're rich, God gave that to you and you must be more favored of God. No. Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? When our faith and trust is in this, that's really a rotten life. Not just trust, but love. Consider this scripture verse from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul the Apostle says, they that, say these next three words with me, they that will be rich. That is their goal in life. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. There's a warning in the Word of God. If your goal in life is to be wealthy, you know what will happen? You'll be tempted to compromise your ethics. You'll be tempted to pursue some things which you should not. And it says these things drown men in destruction and perdition. You guys have heard of a Ponzi scheme. You heard about that before? Do you realize that the Ponzi scheme was named after a man? His last name was Ponzi. He was an Italian, and he had this idea that he would sell postage stamps, and you could pay him, and as they were gaining interest, you could, you know, basically purchase more based on the interest. And he would take the money from one person, and he would give it to another and say, see, this is the reward on your investment. You need to give me more money. And then when they gave him more money, he would take that money and give it to somebody else, all the while filtering off for himself and never investing the money. So eventually it came out, these people wanted their money back, and this guy was nowhere to be found. He split the country. Guess who got rich off the Ponzi scheme? The guy who instituted it. And the only reason it worked is that so many people wanted to get rich quicker than the standard rate of return. They wanted it now. And it drowned them. In fact, the love of money is the root of all evil, which some, having coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money causes men to do things. Trust in money. And look at what it says in Matthew chapter 6. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is money. This is a tool. It's good to have tools. I have a garage full of tools. Tools should not be your master. Okay? They should be used to serve your master. And so money is a means to an end. And in our pursuit of money, we can begin to trust that instead of God. In the end, we can serve it instead of God who gave it to us. And we, in our pursuit, we can lose all that truly matters. Do you realize that all that you own, everything you own on this earth, is temporary? And when you leave this world, you'll leave it behind. In fact, some of you, the older you get, you realize how temporary it is. How many times have you said, they just don't make things the way they used to? You ever said that? I know you have, okay? Last time you went to use one of your tools and it broke. They just don't make things the way they used to. You know what around you is eternal? Every person you see is eternal. Your relationship with God is eternal. And if we spend our life pouring our life into these tools and trusting in these tools and serving these tools, and we don't invest in things that are eternal, you'll leave behind everything you invested in. Jesus said, what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, if he's wise, he won't. He'll invest in his soul's health and the souls of others. We can lose what truly matters. And you know what, if we're so busy making money and focusing on temporal things that we lose our children, that we lose our family, our relationship with the Lord, we have traded something that has a very short life. They don't make it like they used to. For eternity. That's a foolish decision. Working nonstop is not biblical because we are to focus on investing in others. And really, working and then resting is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. It takes faith to rest and let God handle it. For some of us, rest is a difficult task. Anybody here like that? Okay? Now, I'm not saying that if you take a day of rest, you have to stay in bed the entire day. OK, rest looks different to different people. It's recreation, recreation. It's release of the mind. We're not under the Old Testament system. OK, the Pharisees of the New Testament added a bunch of things to the law. In fact, they weren't happy just having a law that said you had to rest on the Sabbath day. They would say you were only allowed to travel so many steps on the Sabbath day. You were only allowed to do certain kinds of work on the Sabbath day. And so they would change the definition for work so that they could, it was self-serving, so that they were allowed to do things. In fact, they got so legalistic about it that they, in fact, that's why in the Bible it talks about a Sabbath day's journey. If you look at, there's just some scriptures in the Gospels, a Sabbath day's journey. That was all the further you were allowed to walk until it was considered work. I don't know how you considered that. You know, you started to sweat here in Florida. You couldn't walk to the mailbox. You have a Sabbath day's journey. I can't get my mail, you know. They were so legalistic about it that you were allowed to travel if you were going to eat on the Sabbath or coming from eating. You were allowed to travel if you were going home. And so the Pharisees, if they wanted to travel on the Sabbath day, they would go around the day before and stash food around the city so that they could always be going to where they were going to eat. Some of them would even keep a bag of dirt that they had gotten from their own yard, and that they would sprinkle that, and so that they were always walking home. It's crooked. That is not what God had in mind. Yeah, they sent on politicians. It is that we rest because our bodies need it, and we have to reconnect with our families. If we're always so engrossed in our business, we lose connection with the Lord. What did it say in the Old Testament? The psalmist wrote, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." Anybody here have trouble being still? Yes, I have trouble being still. It's hard, but we need to. Look at the words of Psalm 127. I spoke out of this yesterday when talking about the family, but I think it's interesting. We need to grasp what the author says here. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You can work, but unless God's helping you, it's all vanity. Except the Lord keepeth the city, the watchman waketh in vain. You can guard what you have or try to guard, but unless the Lord's helping you, it's vanity. In fact, it's vain for you to rise up early. A lot of things are worthless without God's help. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. What is this saying, Pastor? It's saying simply this, that we are to labor, we are to work, but at some point we are to rest and to trust God. We are to rest and we are to trust God. When you have done what you can do, what you are supposed to do, stop. And let God do his job. Some of us get in trouble because we don't want to work. Others get in trouble because we want to play God. And we want to hang on to those things. We say, well, I got to do this and I've got these bills and you've already worked and you can't do any more. And so, you know what we do? We stay up and we stew about it. We worry. We eat the bread of sorrows. We wake up early. We go to bed late, burning the candle at both ends. Worrying, overworking, neglecting your family, being absent to church, stressing out, the inability to rest, they indicate a lack of faith in God. Is God our provider, church? Is God our provider, church? Yes. Does he provide through our labor? Yes. Can we trust him with our rest? If he's commanded us to do it, we need to. See, as we close, remember this. Work is a virtue. It's not a bad thing. Yes, some people don't like it, but it's still biblical. Waiting for what we want is a virtue. It is. There are testimonies that I could share of waiting and just, you know, getting less than what you want and then praying about it and allowing God to provide. And by the way, sometimes God provides things nicer than what you would have bought to start with. He really does. God is such a gracious God. Money is simply a tool. It is just a tool. It is not your God. It's a terrible God. It will destroy you. But the God of heaven will provide for you. Our trust must be in God alone. And ultimately, in all labor there is profit. You know, I think about folks nowadays who don't want to get a job at all. And I've talked to some people who are on welfare or government aid. And they say, well, if I get a job, it'll just pay minimum wage. And I don't want to work for minimum wage. But that's where you start. It's minimum wage. And they say, well, I don't want to do this, and I don't really want to get started in that job, or I'm out of work right now, but if I were to get a job, then I wouldn't make very much money. And they miss the fact that in all labor there is profit. And in every place you work, there's usually opportunities for advancement. And just because you work there doesn't mean you have to stay there. But you would be surprised how many times the Lord has provided jobs in my life that through those jobs, you gain skill, you gain the ability to impact other people in that workplace. God puts you in the lives of people. He desires to do that with His children. You can have a Christian testimony, and you'd be surprised at the connections that will be provided. Some of you, this is a vision that you need to share with the younger generation, to encourage them, to work hard, to wait, to trust God, but not to overwork. Because the God of heaven is who we are to serve. And all labor there is profit. A lesson on provision. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Lord, we thank You for Your word. I pray that You would help us as believers not to be lazy, but not to be worrywarts either. That we should trust You and to wait for Your provision. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Help us to obey it. Please bless the service to follow. In Your name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed. We'll reconvene at 10:30.